see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to On Today. This is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program today at the Watchmen for Jesus program. Welcome. You know what we're going to talk about today is the truth, and nothing but the truth. We're going to give it to you. I'm not going to give you all this World War III rhetoric entirely that's going to try and disturb everybody and getting everybody in line for the first seal to open up, cause fear, discontent, distraction, deception is the rule. It's the rule, not the exception. It's the what's going on today is this all distraction, disruption, fear mongering. This is a lot of baloney. Talking about the King James Bible is not talking about religion at all. It's talking about reality. And, you know, I know from some other folks is telling me and showing me things. I'm getting some ideas myself. On the side, there are still some folks out there that are trying to find me to make a mistake. To find me to, once again, take me off. And they did. Now, I can say that at this point. Twice, not connected, but the last time was sponsors who were gypsies that certainly tried to take me down. It did a good operation on it too, I got to admit, but it ended up giving me a network. That worked out for me very well. But nevertheless, they're still trying, as I can see, and witchcraft and the occult plays a big part in it, because I point out how the occult, the government, the New World Order has all combined. It is, in fact, combined. As a matter of fact, the Pentagon has special projects, classified projects. It's ongoing since early 1900s, for goodness sakes, about using the occult, remote viewing. They actually have included the dispatching, believe it or not, using the demonic realm in our own government. We've never had a Christian government. People, yes. Government, no way possible. No. Not possible. This includes the so-called founding fathers. They were deists. Every doggone one. There's only a handful of them that were not. And those were the ones that were targeted to die. Because they realized what was going on. And the facade of using the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and all that to cover over a very evil intent. The one thing that's kept us going are you, those that believe in Jesus, and we're, although placated, still worshiped the true Savior, Jesus, and not Yeshua, and not Yahweh, but the true God of the Bible, the King James Bible. This is what's going on today. Everything's to cause you fear, leading up to a fake plan of World War III. Family, the real World War III, the one that's going to actually take place, and it will, is after the falling away and the Antichrist has been revealed. Then comes the real World War III. It's not the Pope, it's not Obama. That's for sure. And we're not Babylon by no stretch of anybody's imagination. They may stretch it, but it's not even remotely true. We're not even a country. We have no money. Every American citizen is indebted. Every American citizen is indebted to the globalist, the IMF. You see, they're indebted. We're indentured slaves. Have been since 1879 and 1929. We have the birth certificate that is actually your property certificate. Is actually a bill of lading. That's what it is. That's what it's for. It's designed for that. Our birth certificates are maintained at the IMF. They own us since 1929. That traitor FDR put us in for it. Long story. That's what the Social Security number is all about. Now, here's the rub on it. Now they're telling you all this. They want you to know. Because they're in preparation to bring us under a world government. So they got to show you, quote, the worthlessness of all governments worldwide so that the worldwide population will desire peace. Because they've caused the wars. We want freedom. They've got everybody enslaved. And that will lead to the next false sense of security called the first seal. And the so-called disclosure, day of declaration, where they'll announce that there are aliens and we are, in fact, in touch with them. And that will be the biggest lie this side and other side of the Mississippi ever was. Both sides. It's a lie. Because these so-called aliens don't exist. What they are, and you'll see them, are fallen angels. And they are evil to the core. That's why God kicked their hiney butts out of heaven. To the second heaven. They go back and forth. You ever heard the term to and fro? By using alchemy, physics, ritual, human sacrifice to manifest themselves. Back and forth of the second heaven to the first back. Now that's really the bottom line of a lot of what's going on today. Now we could spend all day talking about this plane that disappeared. We could talk about Agenda 21 and just bore you to death with it and, you know, say it in such ways it's going to keep you interested, but just, you know, causing fear, and you could talk about the little colored dots in your post office box if you want to. But all that's to keep fear into you and to keep you off balance. Now, who's really hearing about this? a small percentage of the population. Everybody else don't even listen. And 90% of the population thinks you're a conspiracy theorist, even thinking these things or saying them out loud at the water fountain at work or at the refrigerator when you're passing by. You hear John? Yeah, he talks about this conspiracy stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. God's been watching too much Alex Jones or whatever. I don't know what. Yeah, oh, here he comes. Let's go. Yeah, that's how it works. Even though you want to help other people, let them know what you found out, they don't want to know. They're going to find out soon enough, though. Because, you see, God's been patient throughout mankind's history. He wasn't real patient in the flood. He lost his patience in Sodom and Gomorrah because there weren't any righteous there. And there weren't any righteous before the flood either. You see. What happened? Well, it's pretty obvious what happened. And it wasn't nuclear explosions either. God don't need mankind's or fallen angel technology for his work. He can do it anytime he wants, anyhow he wants to do it. He can destroy a city or he can build one up. He can do what he wants to do. It's his creation, not ours. And certainly not Satan's or the fallen angels. Don't belong to them. They're trying to hijack it, but God's given them enough rope that they're going to hang themselves. And their destination is hell. Now, you have free will. Who are you going to follow? Because they've already lost. Now, how does he do this, Satan? And I'm going to dedicate the broadcast here in a small jiffy second. It's by using what's called the Hegelian dialectic. This is how it's done. It always has been since history. Always. Nothing, oh, I know, you've heard this before, the cliche. Nothing is as it seems. Everybody nods their head, yes, but what does that really mean? Wars were started by accident, right? Somebody getting angry at somebody else and a movement, and there you got a war, right? No. The wars, all wars, bar none, are prepared decades, if not centuries, ahead of time. And the so-called reasons for these wars, Archduke Ferdinand being assassinated or Pearl Harbor and all this, are used as disclaimers, as false flags to justify it, to give it a reason, excuse, so you won't find the real reason for all these wars and massacres and treaties and all this. It's all pre-planned ahead of time. Who? The Roman Illuminati, not the Jews. You got a segment of the Jews called the tribe of Dan that's got their little nose stuck in everything, including Israel. They will be routed out when God allows the Antichrist to go through the first part of the tribulation. They won't be there very long. The real Hebrew Israelites will take over. And their symbol is not the Star of David, which is a witchcraft symbol, but the menorah. That's the real symbol of the real Hebrew Israelites. And you white folk in America, I got news for you. You ain't Israel. Israel is in a Jerusalem. What a surprise that is. And they're Arab looking too, by the way, because they're offspring of Abraham, as are the Arabs. Or offspring of Abraham under Ishmael. They look like Arabs. Hello, it's the Middle East. Not the white folk in Europe. Or not the lost tribes. And the tribe of Dan that migrated out, yeah. They lost a little bit of their DNA along the way. Khazars, Ashkenazi, tried to hijack Israel. They won't be there long. When God lets the Antichrist go with his move, after the real World War III, it gets real ugly. There's a judgment coming upon this earth. It's a given. Which side are you going to be on? God's side or Satan's side? And Jesus ain't Yahshua. God isn't Yahweh. God is Jehovah of the Bible, the Old Testament, Jehovah. Eliyahiliyah. I am that I am. Jehovah. Yahweh is Satan in a tetragrammaton spelled backwards. It is Satan. Allah. Same. Family, It's time to get with it. Seek Jesus Christ. I'm dedicated to broadcast. Then we want to talk a little bit about the news. And the news, I'm going to show you where it fits in perspective to the Humanist Manifesto. By the way, if you get an opportunity, go to TalkStream Live and pull up my name there and click on that little photograph, little old me, Thomas Gamble, and then you click on the bar, a little green bar there. I think it's what you do. And you can listen to me there, or you can click on the face. Click on my face. There you go. And then it goes to my website. That's what happens. Interesting. So you click on the bar, you listen, and you click on my face, come back to the website. And that sort of moves me up, and that way brings people in to listen, because we're a higher level of category. I don't get anything for it, don't want anything for it. All I want to do is spread the truth while I can. And I'm not afraid to either. I know that I know for a fact there's so folks out there, which doesn't bother me in the very least, but I know they're out there, especially those involved in some agencies, the agencies, when you talk about them, you can guarantee they're mixed up with witchcraft and Satanism. You know, why they don't know that, it just boggles my mind. Because they can take down the number of us that are truth tellers. You know, they murdered David Wilkerson, probably the last great evangelist. I don't see of any today, really, unless they're obscure in some little forgotten church somewhere. The ones on international TV, including Billy Graham and Robert Schuller and T.D. Jakes and Dollar and Crouch and Benny Hinney and all these others are all frauds. Manning and a whole lot of them. Christian Identity, secret societies, Freemasonry, Boulay Society, and the whole lot of it, Eastern Stars and so forth, are saturating the government, religious realm, Jesuits, the whole lot of them. It don't matter what they do, they're going down. There's nothing they can do to stop it. I mean, nothing. As human beings, they're powerless. The fallen angels are heading to hell anyway. Do the math on that. You see? So those of us, and I am going to tell the truth, and I'm not even going to put a donate button on my website. I don't care. I don't have any CDs or books or none of that. I don't want them either. Only a small segment of the population read them anyway. I'm not looking to make any money. I'm looking to get you the truth at all costs. And the only book I want to push, and you go buy it wherever you want to, is the King James Bible. Cambridge edition. You better get them while you can, because they are putting out counterfeits. Yep, they sure are. They're coming closer and closer to getting rid of the Bible. And that silly Book of Enoch is taking main stage. Oh, yes, I know. It's got information about the fallen angels and so forth. Well, yabba-dabba-doo. None of them can save you. Right now, it's closing in on Jesus Christ. You see, that's really the focus right now, more than anything. Because you're going to need him. When this thing gets tough, and it's not tough yet. In America, you're going to see tough. And you're going to need Jesus. MacArthur, John MacArthur, whatever, Calvinist or whatever he is, he's putting off on the, talking about taking the chip and the tattoo and all that now. They all change their tune, don't they? Yep. That immediately counsels them out. You don't take any chip. When the government causes you to sin against God, then you refuse at all costs. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Fine, whatever. But to God, render only to God what is God's. And that means you got to go against the government, and that's what it means. And what I mean by go against the government, that means refuse to do what they want you to do when it causes you to sin against God. Now, you're going to incur the wrath of man. It's coming. But you've got to depend on Jesus Christ. Got to depend on the Holy Spirit to get you through it one way or the other. Otherwise, like Peter, you walk on the water. Well, when you start losing faith, you're going to sink. It's all personal decision. Time for reckoning is coming. Right now, it's just practice. Some people are already into it and overseas. They're already in trouble, already going through the fire. It's coming here. They got to get all their ducks in a row before they start messing with Americans. They want to make sure. And you know who's helping them? Your government. Your top-level military. Talk show hosts at the highest level. Internationalists. Keeping you all distracted. Keeping your minds off of Jesus. They'll say Jesus here and Jesus there. A God here and a God there. Get it in. Kind of like a checklist. Then move on to something else. They don't really cover that you got to give your life to Jesus. Deny self, get on your knees to Him, and repent of every sin you can think of. And those you can't think of, you ask Him to remind you of them. It's between you and Jesus, and that's it. Nobody else. You develop your own relationship with Him by repenting of sins. And that's it. And truly be sorry for what you've done. And if you actually can believe yourself and tell yourself you're sorry that you've done these things, these sins that He's named, then Holy Spirit will help you along the way. But family, there is no third choice. There's only two. Majority of preachers better get on their knees too. They're going to need to. Popes and priests and rabbis. Because there's no such thing as a rabbi. There's only one. No such thing as a master. There's only one. No such thing as a father. There's only one in the religious realm, and that's Jesus Christ. There is no other. And God the Father is the only Father you've got. He is Jesus Christ incarnated, human flesh, glorified at the resurrection, the ascension into heaven on the right hand of the Father, and He's coming back. And when He comes back, there's no plea in your case anymore. There will be only judgment. Right now, you can plead your case, so to speak. That's by prayer. I just talked about that. It's called repentance. Lord, today we come before You in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Father, we pray. Lord, we thank You for what You've done for us, Lord, that in our lives that You've led us through, that You've been there, Lord, to give us through the hard times, and Lord, to open our minds and our hearts and give us wisdom, discernment to see the truth. To be able to see the miracles You perform that sometimes, Father, we may look over. Lord, we also pray for divine appointments that we can share the gospel and learn from others as well. Lord, that we know that time's coming. Though we pray for knowledge, we pray for wisdom and discernment. Father, coming from You, from the Holy Spirit, of the end times events. Lord, we also pray for our family members, that Lord, through our walk with the Holy Spirit, that Lord, that we can share it with others. And Lord, to meet others along the path that can strengthen our own resolve and strengthen our own knowledge and faith, that Father, we work with each other. We pray, Father, for the healing of our family members, Lord, that through this healing, to overshadow the vaccinations and the pills and the maladies that's being caused by the medicines and by the vaccines and by the chemtrails and by demonic activity, that Lord, that You'll take all that away. And through the healing, each families will be glorified and brought together. Father, we pray for returning veterans. That, Father, Your Holy Spirit will overshadow the effects of those drugs, the vaccines, and, Father, the Holy Spirit to guide them to divine appointments that will take out the thought, that will take away the thought of suicide that's happening so often today, 22 per day and more. That, Lord, that number will be taken down through intervention of the Holy Spirit. And though we pray certainly for the next few weeks, and certainly during the month of April, that these events that's getting ready to take place, the tragedies that's getting ready to happen, and toward the end of March, Lord, in the middle or end of April, that, Lord, that You'll be there to guide us through if these things happen. And Lord, your Holy Spirit will guide us in the right path and bring wisdom discernment to the events that's happening. That Father will still seek the name of Jesus and be strong. Father, we call upon you to strip down the protection of these Wicca and strip down the protection of the fallen angels, and Lord, expose them for who and what they are, and cover us with the blood of Jesus, Lord, any attacks or any of their plans is working against us to stop us from broadcasting or stop us from witnessing and so forth, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will guide us, will protect us from these spells that they're putting out and these fetishes and these psychic prayers they're throwing out, the hexes, the vexes they're trying to throw out, the spells and charms and curses they're trying to put out to render null and void the psychic prayers and psychic thought and all their witchcraft, and send it back to them, Lord, and then bind it to them by the blood of Jesus and return it to them sevenfold. But Father, we do pray that these lost souls will also find the light of your Son, Jesus, that their own snares and their own traps have been set against themselves. And we do pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to loose them from all mind control of Satan. Touch their hearts and split them up, but Lord, that the wheat and tares will be pulled away. And Lord, even if they could witness for the others within their covens and their groups, that Lord, you cause them derision, division, and pull those out that truly seek the name of Jesus when all this is done. Lord, in these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, here we are. Lord, I know, folks, I know right now, I'm still going. I know right now there's talk about this plane, Malaysia. I think some shows, some people are commentators, as opposed to an Irish potato or an Idaho potato, but a commentator is not an Irish potato or a sweet potato. It's just a commentator. Oh, yeah. What is it lately? Oh, they were kidnapped. Okay. That they're spending a life in the Virgin Islands now with different names. Okay. That UFOs took them. Yeah, all right. I think in one show they're talking about the plane has a nuclear bomb on it. It's going to deliver it to the East Coast and cause a tsunami. Whatever. And just all kinds. And basically nobody knows. And the ones that do know, they're just trying to cause distraction. So I just let them play their little game, because there's absolutely nothing they can do to stop the coming tribulation and the judgment. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen, but them stopping it or trying to delay it with their own devices won't happen. Your prayers of extended time to witness to others. Now that might, but when the numbers start going down, of those praying in the name of Jesus, when they start continue increasing, the increase of changing the laws of the land, especially when they get to euthanasia in Oregon, keep your eyes on the witches in Oregon. Watch them carefully. And in the Southwest, they're going to be really hot. And in Asheville, North Carolina, and Virginia Beach, and Louisiana, and other places up north, they got covens, there's all kinds of working. And with the government, by the way, Michael Aquino, one of the top-notch witchcraft progestators, or whatever you want to call them, that there is. Family, these people are totally evil. I don't think people really can realize, when we talk evil, you think, well, we're talking Aryan Nation in prison. We're talking the killers in prison. No, you're not. These are babes in toyland compared to the Satanists. Yeah, you have no idea. And then, of course, the ones in prison that are into the witchcraft, like Charles Manson, who, by the way, is still being used to coordinate the street gangs in America with the cell phones he's got. It's a long story, but linked up to the Christian identity, it's all connected. Family, this whole conspiracy is all connected together. And boy, I tell you, it's coming to a head. I We're going to talk specifics here in a minute. I'm just kind of laying the groundwork. Also, I want to let you all know, I guess most of you go to my website or on my Facebook, watchmenforjesus.com. And also, let you all know, other places we're played, by the way, is up in highportradio.net. That's highportradio.net. John Kirkler. And highportradio@yahoo.com. Highportradio.net. And he's building his towers about one a month to increase his coverage of Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. Also, in Colorado, KBLU Radio plays us randomly, or simulcast occasionally. There in KBLU Radio and Blue Raven Network. Tonight, every Monday night, 8 to 10 p.m., I'm live at RevelationRadioNetwork.com. RevelationRadioNetwork.com. And I go from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So be there tonight if you are interested. Today we go to 4 to 6 as we do Monday through Friday. And on Tuesday to Fridays, we have Bible study on this network, watchmenforjesus.com. You can pick it up, watchmenforjesus.com, Bible study, 7:30 to 9. Well, I have since found out that I have some folks on the, what do you call it? Oh, yeah, the Micro Effect Facebook now. And so I anticipated that we have members also on my website. My website, that too. And the Facebook, Watch for Jesus. And so I know that there's members of the TME on my website, so I anticipate folks being contacted and start up the same old mess, because we've increased our numbers according to their statistics at Facebook to like 1,400 or so likes, as they call it, and 84,000 visits per week up to now, about 84,000 visits. So now we're increasing. It's going to draw attention. I anticipate it getting larger. We're slowly picking up. So that consequently, they're going to start figuring out now, their little groupies, on how to take it down again. So all I try to focus on is my website. I don't like having to second guess, but it seems I'm going to have to. So TME's created a Facebook page, and so just recently, the past week or so. So that's your attempt to send people into our site. It's a little stupid games these people play. And it's primarily focusing on Christian identity. And I've got a broadcast from Revelation Radio Network I did on the Christian identity, Hebrew Roots Movement, Sacred Name Movement. It's all a fraud. But it is greatly, greatly picking up steam. Big time, man. They're moving fast. To no avail, because they lose anyway, but they're gaining popularity. And they're linked up to British Israel, Westboro Baptist Church, Arnold Murray, Armstrong, Christian Identity. They're all connected. James Dobson, Christian, what do you call it, the Family Research Council, Jerry Boykin, the whole lot of it is all connected. You'll find some of the same names. Knights of Malta, that's the enemy. And they're an enemy of themselves. They don't know that yet, but they are. Well, the Christian identity is bent on violent overthrow, resolution of the country. Their religion and claims to be a Christian is a ploy to identify as Christianity in the TME. So y'all be real careful with that now. If you're approached by them promoting the site or trying to discredit my programs or our Facebook, let me know, and we'll have a little conference. If you're approached on private messages, I suggest you challenge their accusations and insist on specifics. to validate their allegations when they start this plan. Anticipate it. If it don't happen, fine. If it does, well, there you go. Make people produce evidence of everything they say. I try to do it ahead of time as I speak. That's why I give you some background of where I'm coming with, and I hit you with what I got to tell you. I put my evidence on front. On my website, watchmenforjesus.com, you'll find the chronology there I use as a basis. And also, you'll find in the About Watchmen of Jesus, you'll find in the About section, what I use as my core references of legitimate and bona fide good information about 20 different authors and source documents. All right there for you. The goal is for them to divide and sow discord among the brethren. And that's what they're up to doing. Now, I'm just a little old guy, so I don't really, I don't understand really why they even fool with me, because I'm not an international kind of guy. I do have an international broadcast, but I have a small group. So they must be afraid of something if they got to send people in, don't you think? I find it very interesting, but nevertheless, they will do what they do. So be it. Now, the little games that we play, there's something more important. And that's 1 Peter 3:15. And it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Fear, it means respect. The fear of the Lord is to love the Lord. And being meek is not remotely a weak trait. Today's definition, which is invalid, talks about what meek means. Today's definition is an invalid definition of it. The true biblical definition of meekness is based on the biblical definition of being meek. You see, they've changed all the words to muddy the water. It's not us bringing the Bible up to our level at all. You don't modernize the Bible. You don't change the Bible, Billy Graham, and you don't change the way you come across because you're older, Robert Schuller and Billy Graham. It doesn't work that way. You don't change. The Bible doesn't change. You don't change. Your age means nothing. Your age just means you're getting older. It doesn't change the gospel. Age doesn't change the gospel. They seem to think it does. But it doesn't. And so what they're trying to do is subtly change the gospel and make it up to date. That's what Westcott and Hort, two Freemasons, tried to do. And they succeeded in the other Bibles, but not in the King James Bible. It remains the same. And there's no change in it. But they're trying to, because they're trying to match up. They're trying to bring about a change of thought throughout the United States, primarily because we're a Christian nation and so forth, or alleged Christian nation. The individuals, yes, but we're losing quite quickly because of the homosexual marriage being authorized, made law in several, about 17, 18, 19 states now. And the countries, the states, are turning away from God. God's going to turn away from them. And once he gets a certain point, that's up to God. It's not our business. But once we get up to a certain point, God's going to just turn it over. And boy, we're in it. And judgment will come upon this nation when the laws have changed. And so, for that, you all be ready. We don't know. God knows, but we don't. Our role, our job, is the Great Commission. Once we got ourselves on track, it's the Great Commission to spread the gospel and the true word. And you can't spread the true word when you got a Bible that's missing verses. Doesn't work that way. And that's every Bible, except for the King James. So meekness, back in those days, what it means in reality, in terms of biblical terms, is a calm temper. Someone who's not easily provoked. It doesn't mean weakness at all. You know, the greatest leaders among God's true people were meek, strong, but not swaggering. And do you know that the only two that was mentioned as being meek in the Bible? Moses and Jesus Christ himself. The man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. See, meekness is a self-controlled quality that Christians are instructed to learn and develop, not just for the interim, but for the powers and responsibilities that await them of yet to come. You see. And so, Jesus Christ was physically and psychologically strong. And by the way, what did Jesus look like? Does anybody know? You know, many believe that the Shroud of Turin is the actual burial cloth of Jesus Christ, that the man seen in a cloth image is that of the Lord. Now, you've got very disputed carbon dating tests that show it to be only 600 years old. There's at least one other proof, they say, that the Savior is not the man in the cloth, which is idolized by millions of people, like some crying statue of Mary or some aberration or hologram or satanic or demonic familiar spirit looking like Mary. Mary's in heaven. She's not coming down here. No need to. Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit's already down here. So what do they need Mary for? Mary's up there with the Son. You understand? She's not divine. Blessed? Yes. Divine? No. She didn't die on the cross. Jesus did. You know, the Bible actually makes no real specific description of what Jesus Christ actually looks like. There is no known image of him in existence, such as they are, for example, Charles Maine. Even the fallen angels have appearances. Roman emperors, Emperor Nero, or actual faces from the past that can be seen with the... And you also have the Egyptian mummies. There are, however, some good indications of what he did and didn't look like. You know, through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people made no mention of something different about how he looked. Matter of fact, if anything, they wondered how such an ordinary-looking man could be the Savior. John the Baptist would not have known his cousin was. He didn't know he was a Savior. The mothers Mary and Elizabeth were related. Until the time that he appeared, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He knew. Because the angel told him just before the baptism of Jesus at age 30, John 1, verse 33, told him who he was. Be supernatural. And the mob that came to arrest him that fateful night, they couldn't tell him apart from Peter or John or any others. Judas Iscariot had to actually point him out with a kiss. Matthew 26, 47 to 49. And even then, Jesus had to identify himself twice to those who demanded him by name, right? As he stood right in front of them with the bright light of their torches. John 18, 3 to 9. Think about it. You know, the Lord did have a hard outside physical labor with Joseph and Nazareth, until I was about 30 years old. The building trade involved strenuous physical type labor, heavy stone and lumber. Family, they didn't have power tools back then. Neither did Noah. No pun intended, but how about that silly Ham trying to build the ark? You know why he's building the ark? He's building the ark to show it can't be done. That's how these sneaky theologians are. Ham, you know Ham, right? Ham and Nye? Ham and Rye? Or whatever. So, if they did mechanical digging that's used today, they had some problems. A lot of hard work. You got Jesus Christ portrayed as a pale, skinny, effeminate man with long hair and wearing a flowing white or pink robe or something and blonde hair, blue eyes or something other. It's not Jesus Christ. Oh, I got a bombshell for you. Some of you don't know. All that may very well be far closer to what Satan looks like, or, listen now, Arsenanda Emmanuel. There is your Yeshua. Your Yahuwah. You see what I mean. Nobody knows what Jesus looks like, so where'd you get the photos? Now, if you look up Ascended Masters, you'll find that's exact replica of Sananda Emmanuel. The one that the Queen Elizabeth and company and family think that they're descendants of. And that may very well be true. Sananda Emmanuel was a fallen angel. And angels could copulate, as evidenced by Genesis 3:5, 6:2, sorry, 6:2 and 6:4, and Job 38:7. Not in heaven, no, it's supernatural, but on earth they had took a physical body. They created Nephilim. Yes, sir. So, Christ could have looked nothing like that. His appearance would have been of a tanned, muscular, physically fit young man, dressed in durable and practical clothing of the day, made him indistinguishable from the blue-collar fishermen that were with him when he was arrested. The prophet Isaiah confirms his ordinary appearance. If you go to Isaiah 53:2-5, let's take a little peek at that. I wouldn't plan on talking about this, but I guess I'm going to anyway. I just simply go with where God sends me, and that's kind of what happens. If you go to Isaiah 53, write it down, look it up. I know some of you are probably tired of hearing me say that, aren't you? Well, don't get too tired of it because I always will say it. Isaiah 53:2-5. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when he shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem with him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised by our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with the stripes we are healed. Don't forget that verse. Now, I'm not Columbo, necessarily, and I'm not Sherlock Holmes. But there's a little observation I'm going to make here. Isaiah was Old Testament, was he not? Oh, he was. And that means he was before Christ was born. And if it was before Christ was born, how does he have a clue what Jesus looked like? Unless it was God telling him as he wrote. How about that? Jesus Christ didn't have long hair neither. Hairstyles and socially acceptable length have varied tremendously over the ages. Sometimes they're short, sometimes long. But you always got Christ with long hair, usually brown or blonde. The man in the shroud has long hair. If you go to Paul on the road to Damascus, he saw Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Paul was a trustworthy man who repented of his sins, so much so he became author of 13, well, Hebrews is debatable, I guess, but if you read some of the writings, it's indicative of Paul have written Hebrews as well. 13 books that went into the real Bible of God, King James. 13 books. 12, certainly. 13, somewhat debatable. But that's a lot of books in the Bible, Word of God, isn't it, you think? I think so. Well, Paul saw Jesus Christ after he had died and rose again. Supernaturally, he saw Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:14. You know, I wasn't even remotely going to talk about this today, and I just seemed to come across this just now. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Ooh. It's a hard day's night we've been working. Like, hey, Beatles, what about that? Huh? Anyway, no, I'm not going on America's Got Talent because I don't. I do in the shower. I'm going to put a pail over my head. You see, it's unthinkable that Paul would have made such a statement if Jesus Christ had long hair, do you think? How can anything about the Lord be disgraceful? How about that? The shroud is a fraud. And people hanging on to that in the book of Enoch, like it was something divine. Nope. And there's something else that people don't mention is the cloth was laid on his face. He wasn't wrapped up in like a mummy. So how did he fold the napkin that was over his face? And that's the picture of someone allegedly that's been completely wrapped up like a mummy. Some of those theologians better go back to school. Because they missed out on something there. They're all messed up. Because their information is wrong. And it's deceiving a whole lot of people. So meekness is the main point here. And then we moved into what Jesus looked like. And it's definitely not the shroud. Meekness is a calm temper. Someone who's not easily provoked. That's what meekness is. So, there it is. But you got descriptions of the Antichrist as well. But it won't, you don't need a description of who that is. Any world leader that's not Jesus. Any questions? When he's revealed, you'll know, and the falling away will begin. That means he's an antichrist. He's going to talk against Jesus. There will be a falling away. And you know that the biblical God, Yahweh, name is a forgery. Genesis was stolen from early Babylonian sources. Some people say Yahweh was the God war of the ancient Israelites. But the thing is, Satan copied in his own works exactly what happened in the Bible. and his own writings. See, Yahweh is a pagan name. Jehovah is the name of God of the Bible. Yahweh appears to have been originally a sky god, a god of thunder and lightning, associated with mountains and called by the enemies of Israel's god of the hills. The only truth you're going to find is in the King James Bible. Anything outside of that is going to be a fraud. And you've got theologians that go all kinds of crazy with trying to explain what Yahweh is. Hebrew language doesn't have vowels in it. It's written form at the early part of it. The correct pronunciation of the name of God was lost, not rediscovered until about 300 A.D. by the Kabbalists, they say. And then they gave it the title, the Tetragrammaton. The word of the four letters, the square name, or more simply the square, they call it. At that time, the Shem LaMeforesh became represented by the simple form of YHVH. So what they do is they go in all kinds of explanation of what Yahweh. Yahweh is not even a Hebrew name. You find that in Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, volume 15, page 321. And they get in all kinds of explanations to draw you away from the true word of God and the true name. The oldest, such as the Onkondolos, the Targumim of Jerusalem, regard Eya and Eya Asha Eva as the name of the divinity, I am that I am. And it just gets on and on about this. Elohim, Adonai, Adonai, just go on and on and on and on and on about it. But the whole bottom line is, being born again. They've got so many of these names that it's just almost impossible to pronounce them. Yahuwah, Yahweh, Yahuviah. It just goes on and on. I'm not going to waste my time on it. And the sneaky parts of what they've done. And they want to get you to say Yahweh and Yeshua and Jeshua and so forth, because those are the names that's going to be taken on by the Antichrist and the false prophet, who is Sananda Emmanuel. This is the trick they're using. They're coming up with it. Hard and fast. Some of you already know. Now back to what I was talking about. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason in the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Fear is not fear as in trembling, but fear is in love and respect and honor. Another misnomer of today's definition of fear. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 7. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, homosexual, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Freemasons, you better take hold here, because you're listed in here. Of all those I've mentioned. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laid sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because they'll be held over with a reprobate mind. Man, you do not want that. If you cover in Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, Ten Commandments laid it out. The laws of the land are supposed to reflect the Ten Commandments. There you go. Change the laws, you're changing the commandments. Bells should start going off about now. Ding, ding, ding. When you start going against the Ten Commandments, including taking them out of schools, that's an overt action of the government to allow it to happen. Sodom and Gomorrah, come on down. And it's not Babylon either. We're not Babylon. We don't fit the definition by no string, stretch of the imagination, none. These ones like Carl Gallup and Jonathan Click and all the rest of them, we're not Babylon. No stretch of the imagination, hardly even close. They'd like you to think so, but you're not. And we're certainly not the Jews either. We're Gentiles from Europe. And other places, Africa, and all kinds of other folks and places. The Middle East is where you find the real Hebrew Israelites. And the real chosen, those of God. And they're not in Israel today. Are they around Israel? Mm-hmm. And they're hidden. Adolf Hitler, linked up to the tribe of Dan and Roman Catholic. That Hitler? Yeah. Second cousin to Queen Elizabeth, by the way. And Stalin and Churchill were all second cousins to Hitler. How about that? Rothschild, that boy got around a little bit, didn't he? Yeah, he did. His role, Hitler, was going to find, using DNA, blood, murder, concentration camps, and burning, to find the bloodlines of the Hebrew Israelites and the Jews, the real Jews, and kill them. So they couldn't find the 144,000, but they failed. God protects his own. We're all grafted in together now in the same tree. No one's better than another. The separation is between those who reject Jesus Christ and those who accept him. That's it. Wheat and the tares. Moses came down from that mountain with 10 commandments. Kind of went back up there. Along the way, received 667 instructions. Writing them down on a scroll that ever he made them. And those laid out the law of the land given to the Levites, the Levitical law and so forth, for the Old Testament, for it is written. And there you go. The law laid the groundwork, and it was harsh, because God sees sin as harsh, and he doesn't like it none. So the punishment was harsh, because the Savior had not yet come. Savior comes. Name's Jesus Christ. Three hundred and sixty some odd prophecies of the first coming of the one to be Messiah. Jesus fulfills all of them, except for the ones that's yet to happen in the end times. No other person in history has nor will fulfill those. Except Jesus Christ. And his return will complete it. Well, the Ten Commandments, laid out by the hand of God himself, given to Moses. Because see, Moses didn't have a hammer and chisel. God did it supernaturally. However, Moses wrote out the law of the land that was to be carried out on scrolls and whatever else. And that's what they went by. And sacrifice of animals was anticipation of the coming Messiah. Until such time as he came, which he did. And Jesus fulfilled all that law. So the Ten Commandments was a summary of the 667 specific instructions. When Jesus Christ came, his two commandments summarized it all. And that's Matthew 22, 37 to 40. You follow those two right there. Solves all the rest of them. How about that? Ten commandments can be summarized in two principles of love toward God, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and love toward your neighbor, Leviticus 19, verse 18. And the first four commandments deal with our relationship with God, and the last six expound on our relationship with fellow man. Now, Moses, he was a Bedouin. He didn't have a computer. He didn't have libraries. He wasn't smoking marijuana, neither. So he got this information from who and how? From the creator of the universe, that's how. And that's who. So when you have a relationship with God, an analogy is kind of used to describe, well, I don't know, like a between Christ and the church is like a groom and a bride. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The word betrothed in this case means somewhat archaic, because today we'd use the church as engaged to Christ. So by making a new covenant with him, we've agreed to spend all eternity with him. But right now we're within the period preceding the marriage. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. All those that take Jesus Christ as Savior will end up going there for the great judgment seat of Christ. Those that don't are going to the great white throne judgment, and that's for all those headed to hell anyway. Which side are you going to be on? Because you're the determination depending on your free will. And that's affected by the fear that you have in your life today. A lot of fear, you have less faith. Mm-hmm. So, in the news today, you've got, now what happens here is they control all of the news, 100%. So they'll put an article out, and it'll be, what do you call it, viral or something like that. One article will be placed throughout the United States in different news agencies and so forth, but the same article. So I'm reading it here in Mount Airy, North Carolina, on my computer, or if I'm reading it even in the Winston-Salem Journal or something like this, it's only one part of throughout the United States that same article being put out, you see. So it's really kind of a teaching point. It's kind of a training. It's kind of a brainwashing. And this has been going on since 1915 when J.P. Morgan bought out 25 of the major newspapers. 1921, he passed it on to the Council of Foreign Relations and to the Rockefellers. Mandel House, and a whole lot of them. And then as technology increased, their control of the media also increased. So they use these articles, events that's taking place today, to brainwash you, to get you to the point of accepting the New World Order in so many different levels. And I've mentioned those levels before specifically. And they are controlled by objectives and councils and committees. Education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, and finance control it all. And fallen angels control that group. And they control mankind. Mankind don't have nothing to say about nothing. They kowtow and cater to the fallen angels at the highest level. And then mankind, that's not involved in this part, kowtows to the ones over them. That's how it really works. So you're Knights of Malta, it's the highest level of generals and congressmen and whatever else they are, scientists and all this. They're nothing but cow towers. Because they kowtow to the highest level human, and the highest level humans are slaves of the fallen angels. That's how it works. And the areas that the Illuminati control perfectly, with the exception of those who get power-lusted, and all they do with them is kill them or destroy their families to calm them down a little bit and bring them back under subjugation. It's real simple, actually. But sometimes God will turn them over to their power lust, whistleblowers, to thwart their plans. But they control, in the pyramid of manipulation, 10 areas: banking, business, worldwide now, all militaries, all politics, education, media, all religions, all the intelligence agencies, CIA, DGSB, KGB, NSA, FBI, Mossad, BND, as I said before, DGSC, France, MI5, MI6, and SIS, Communist Party, Interpol, Europol, drug cartels, mafia, organized crime, Aryan Nation, FEMA, ISI from Secret Services of Pakistan. Family, they all work together. So when you know this principle, and they come up with these articles saying, well, Snowden is being protected by Russia, it's a joke. They're playing a joke on American people and Russians too. Putin and Obama work together. They're like partners working for the Jesuits. The newspapers lie. The newspapers make it look like they're not. Family, it's really surreal. And when you learn this, you see how they do it. It's like watching Days of Our Lives or General Hospital. Congress is a joke. You don't vote. They appoint. You just waste gas and go to the polls. This is a fact. It's always been that way, and I got a quote from FDR confirming we've never had a democracy in our history. March the 4th, 1939. FDR confirms it. All the medicine and drug companies, illegal drugs and organized crime, it's all controlled by the Illuminati and their power structure. So when you start reading these articles, it's like, okay, what are they up to now? What's these old Dennis's and Menace's all up to, you see? Everybody takes it all serious about what they're saying on the news. It's not true. It's all documented, what I'm telling you. This is not some theory. Now, you had Natural News. Let's see, what was the article here? Hospital imprisoned, devoted spiritual author, by claiming her prayers are a sign of mental illness. Now that's, see, March 14th. They want you to read that. I want you to know it. I want everybody to know this. So now when you're saying prayers at work, or you're saying prayers at dinner table, or you're with family and friends, and they see these articles, now you see how it works. They link together in their minds, either subconsciously or otherwise, that when you say prayers, you're mentally ill. Now, let me show where that comes from. Even in 1973, that was 38 to 40 years ago, and it stands firm today. Dr. Chester M. Pierce, of medical doctor out of Harvard University. Ooh, Harvard. Card-carrying member of Tavistock, behavior think tank in England. He said to 2,000 teachers in an auditorium in one of his speeches in Denver, Colorado. He said, I quote Dr. Chester Pierce from Harvard, and he said this openly, like, you know, on a microphone to 2,000 teachers in public. He said, every child in America entering the school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating international children of the future. You know, they have courses now in high school and college about globalism. It's all right there. And I've proven many times before in my broadcast, family impact on this. Every college and university in America, and especially the highest level ones, Yale, Princeton, MIT, all of them, University of Rochester, Wisconsin, doesn't matter, all of them, every one of them, USC, just pick one. And you'll find that behind the scenes, they've ensured that Marxism and socialism has been the preachment of every college and university since the 1930s. Actually, before that. I've got quotes from Charles Francis Parter, 1930. I got a quote from Herbert London, the educator in 1987, 57 years later, Herbert London, New York University. Quote from Georgia Ann Geyer, 1990s, well, she quoted 1970s, same thing. And Roger Kimball, educator, they all confirm it. And I got many more that confirm this. And Paul Brandwine, influential educator, he taught that any child who believes in God is mentally ill, unquote. So you see, this goes back a long time. And this is how the humanists have infiltrated into our country. While everybody's sleeping, not paying attention. So now when you come up to today, they're calling the cards. March 14th, 2014. Article came out in Natural News. There's a hospital in prison devoted spiritual author by claiming her prayers are a sign of mental illness. Now, they put that in the article. That's out to public view. It's so socialistic, it's not even funny. It's like almost insulting. So when people read these things, it will impact on their head. They will not know they're being manipulated or brainwashed. Now, you'd think that some lawyer or some judge would say, wait a minute, this is not right. A devout 56-year-old woman was being held captive in the psych ward nearly 5 days after a strange series of events cascaded before her, and somebody would do something about it, right? No. They're all Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, or into witchcraft. They want you to read it. You know why? Because for a lot of people that are looking for public appearances, they won't pray anymore. For those Christians that are, it causes division and divides them. It has an effect as it rolls downhill. The woman who seeks to remain anonymous is a self-published author who enjoys writing on spiritual topics, and she's taken part in a 15-day spiritual fast at the time. So by the 15th day of going without food, drinking only water, she began to feel delirious. On the last day of her fast, parked at Cleveland, Ohio BP oil gas station, she grew faint and called her mother for assistance. Now, The anonymous woman was escorted to the emergency room, the St. Vincent Charity Medical Center, where she was cared for by Dr. Brayer. After blood tests, Dr. Brayer, B-R-A-R, determined that the woman had low sodium, potassium, and electrolyte levels due to the fast. She conscious again, recovered from her woozy state. She recovered. She prayed audibly and read from the Bible, like you're supposed to do. And it says here, oh man, after observing the woman's fervent behavior, Dr. Brayer then allegedly diagnosed the woman with bipolar disorder with psychotic features. Her prayers were classified as a sign of mental instability. You see where they're going with this thing? Oh, man. She refuses psychotic medication, with the microchips, I bet, and goes to court to force her to take them. She's now suing the St. Vincent Charity Medical Center for unlawful imprisonment. Mental illness is now being applied liberally to people who don't fit the norm. Stand in line. You see, that's what it's coming down to. And they're going to put these articles out, and they're actually going to have these situations to discourage those thinking about doing it, and those that are doing it to put fear in them. And moves on. Now you got coming up here, what's this called? This is the Common Core. You got this Common Core kindergarten math homework. Now, when we were raised up, 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's very simple. You put a little plus sign there and that's what it equals. Now this Common Core thing is just really confusing. Well, what they're not seeing is this Common Core problem is made to be confusing. And then they're going to publish it that it is confusing because they want to, which is going to be easy to do, put bad light on the Obama administration, which is he's part of this anyway. So is Bush. Bush in his second term, so is lead the American people to also vote for Obama. Bush was told to act stupid in his second term. I kid you not. I'm not exaggerating. This is a game that these people play. And then Obama, trained to be a Muslim, is not a Muslim at all. That's his role. Is pretend like he's a Muslim. So your General Boykins, who's a Knights of Malta, can then put bad light on the government, and rightfully so, as part of the plan. So the patriots on the military and all these others are going to go against the government, is what they want. They tried it in 1933, why not do it again, right? It didn't work in 1933 like they'd planned. So they're going to show the government in bad light, which is not hard to do because they're acting that way, as they're supposed to. That will help foment and support if they have a military coup. Now, you say, well, Tom, it's about time we had one. Uh-huh. That's what they want you to think. But here's the rub on it. You have no good overtakers. You have no good individuals that's going to take the place of the government today. Both are bad on both sides. Because the secret societies are there to kill. They're there to continue the Luciferian agenda as the Hegelian dialectic. They show you the evil in the government. We have the good. It must got to be the good. Well, what they're not telling you is that all the secret societies are working against you. And Jesus already has it in mind. He already knew it was going to happen. Satan is prince of this world, but he's not king. And God's going to allow Satan certain latitude and operation. When the laws of the land change, as they are, then Satan knows he'll have more free reign to operate. But you know what? It's a double-edged sword, and I'll tell you why. Because Satan, although he has no wisdom and no discernment, he has a lot of knowledge and has free will. He knows from past experience that he has, and the fallen angels know, that they're restrained up to a certain level, that God won't let them go past a certain point in accordance with Scripture and prophecy. So when they have more latitude to operate, they know their time is short. So they're trying to take control of the weather using technology, harp, take control of people, every means of possibility to band, to match their wisdom against God's power. And that's not going to go over so well, because we know the end of that. That's what's going on at the highest level. Now, in their planning process, they have it documented in the protocols. And they tell you exactly in chapter 15. They're explicit. Quote, chapter 15, Satan, Prince of This World by William G. Carr says, I quote, chapter 15 tells what is going to happen to all lesser beings. Masons, Jews, Christians, etc., etc. Quote, when we, the high priest, Luciferian creed, at last definitely come into our kingdom by aid of a coup d'etat, prepared everywhere for one and the same day, after the worthlessness of all existing governments has been definitely acknowledged. That lecture, quite lengthy lecture actually, was given between 1873 and 1901. And it lists several steps here they're going to take to start executions of all those in secret societies, banning people, and all sorts of things. They've got it all listed out. They tell you what they're going to do. So this is how I bounce it with the news of today, with what really is going on. So they got a comet, what's it, a comet coming now, and it's hit the Atlantic Ocean, it's going to cause a tsunami. Some shows they say now, was it that lost plane is carrying a nuclear explosion, nuclear bomb, that they're going to set off in the west and east coast. So the only people who hear this really are the conspiracy theorists that are there that frequent all these shows, and you know, they get all this fear going on. And they lose anyway. No matter what they do, they lose. Doesn't matter what they do. That's something you got to keep in mind. This is a supernatural war. Not fought by carnal means. Supernatural. And it's been going on since Nimrod. And even before. It's all connected together. They have lost already. Which side are you going to be on? So one of the articles I read, now I've told you all that, and their article that's a teaching point, to show you that the Common Core kindergarten math homework is brought on by the federal government. Who's the federal government? Obama is the federal government. Oh, he's won this time. Oh, okay. So you got General Boykin saying, down with America, down with the Muslim government and all this and all that. Here they're putting out the articles showing the Common Core. I can't believe my kids are trying to learn this stuff. How dare the federal government? You see what they're doing? This is only one small part of it. So, the article says, Bizarro Common Core Kindergarten Math Homework Stumps Dad with PhD. Wow. That's an article title. Can you get it more insinuative here? This is, you know, articles they put out, and it has an effect on the people. That's what it's put out for. You see, the purpose is obvious. They design it this way, and they get their own kowtow media facilities, media experts to put it out on order, on cue. It's like a game. It's like a soap opera. Common Core math education intentionally designed to make America's children mentally ill. That's the article title. Can you get more socialistic? Common Core math education intentionally designed to make America's children mentally ill. You see the game they're playing? This is almost 2 + 2 = 4. So obvious. Yeah, people won't see through the manipulation. So what they'll read is, oh, honey, what? This Common Core math, this government's got out of hand. They got math there. They got to do something about this. Yes, they need to change the government. Yeah, they do. I know. Yes, honey, they do. People ain't seeing behind it the manipulation. And what else is going on? Well, you got the son of former head of Goldman Sachs and the MF Global, also governor of New Jersey, George Corzini, found dead. Suicide in Mexico. Then you got Norfolk helicopter crash kills Northern Ireland's richest man and 3 others. So are they really dead? Or are they bailing ship in their luxurious apartments underneath, in their homes underneath in the deep underground military bases? Now, why would they do that? Why would all these bankers be disappearing by their own death? Well, let me throw this at you. The idea all along of this one world conspiracy was to take the races that were separate and push them together beginning in the year 1425. So by 1492, Columbus, who was an avatar, by the way, opened up the gateway by sailing to the North American continent for the white folks to make the first jump in the Indian country, because that's where we are. Indians and Mexicans were here first. And you'll find that Indians and Mexicans, North American continent, is very near the same longitude-latitude lines as the Middle East, where Jesus was born. Now, the idea was to make a North American continent the new Atlantis, to interbreed. Also, and I've read you that before, about their actual plans. It's documented. To take the separate races, mix them together for one hybrid human being generation where all the races are mixed together. God separated us all so we couldn't come together and work against him. That's a Tower of Babel. Anybody ever read that? There you go. Change of languages even. God was serious about it. Satan is to cause division among the races and the countries, so out of division and war and chaos, people want to come back together again and back the way it was in the Tower of Babel. So this time, he wants to go back to having us under one race. Because back then, Tower of Babel, it was one race. Except here's the rub on it. Well, we should be, we diversity and all this. Fine. So when you've done that, the other role, and here's where it gets real sticky, to find the mix of cultural diversity in one human race, all races together in one DNA pattern. But the rub to it is this: eradicate all other races in a world war, and that's the second seal. by disease and famine, while protecting the new race during this period of time on a deep underground military basis, while the war on the earth rages. That's what it's for. So by World War III, heading to the middle of the tribulation, three quarters, if not all, of the pure races will be wiped out, according to their plan. If you look up right now, Changing Faces of America, October issue of National Geographic, you will find exactly that plan. They have accomplished it. It is complete. And that wasn't the North American or the America's goal all along. It wasn't freedom and all that stuff. It was a new Atlantis, as formulated by Sir Francis Bacon. That's what's been going on ever since. So the first integration of white folk from Europe came 1492 into America. Number two, in the year 1712, then bring over the blacks into America, subjugated as slaves under the white folk. Keep the white folk as slaves. That's what happened, although the white folk didn't know it. After 4th of July, we never gained our freedom, by the way. So now you got the blacks, you got the whites, and you got the Indians. That's three. And once you laid the groundwork during the days of the Indians, locked in 1870s, and here come the Statue of Liberty to bring everybody else over. Now, sort of some of you that's my regular listeners, I'm not going to repeat everything I've said in the past. I'll spare you that. But what I'm going to give you, I have to give you some evidence here, because you're going to think I'm crazier than a bean bug if I don't give you this evidence. Some of you are new people. It is documented, I quote, from their planning process. The agitator of the Illuminati, quote, will proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. And this experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. And Dr. Brock Chisholm advocated on the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, that by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. That's their plan. That goes back to 1946. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to read the whole quote, but I'll read you a part of the quote. FDR himself said, FDR, you know FDR, right? March of 4th, 1939, behind closed doors, never meant to be made public, but was. Part of his quote, which is just absolutely horrific, if people really knew the real FDR. Part of the quote says, quote, to hell with American people as far as the democracy is concerned. It does not exist. It never did. And we'll never let it happen that way. I'm going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. And the last analysis, declare martial law, confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. Unquote, FDR, behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees. Now, I can't help that. Not my fault. I just gave you the facts. Family, it's a one-world conspiracy. Who's in charge? Jesuits under the Roman Catholic Church, or the murderers, instigators, in all seven areas that I've read you out, education, philosophy, and so forth, military, the whole nine yards. The Roman Illuminati families, Italian and German, 13 of them to be exact, Breakspear, Aldobrandina, Gaetani, Orsini, there's 13 of them. They're Italian, and they ain't Jew. The outside, the ones that Springmeier talks about, Reynolds, DuPont, Rockefeller, Rothschild, and so forth. That's 13 of them total. That's the ones they want you to know about. Oh, by the way, Springmeier is against the Bible. No question about that. I got it documented. He's against the King James Bible. That means he's against the Word of God. You have to know this. So is Rob Sheba and a bunch of others. Family, they're tricking you. Don't follow these people. You follow Jesus Christ. It's not Yeshua. It's not Yahweh, neither. His name's Jesus Christ. He's not Jesus the Christ. It's tricky. You see, the Christ is the one called Maitreya in the New Age terminology. Christ is the Messiah. When they say the Christ, it's like the Messiah. Oh, they're tricky. So the Christ is the one Yeshua, Yahweh, Yahuwah, what are 15 different derivatives, is Sananda Emmanuel, the fallen angel. And we go back to what I said about an hour and a half ago about what Jesus really looked like. And it's not the one on the shroud. That's Sananda. It's not the offspring of the Merovingian bloodline. That's Sananda and some woman they want to call Mary. You know the one the Knights Templars are protecting? That very one. They got the wrong Jesus, and they got the wrong DNA. And that DNA, they have to renounce their connection, or they're going to hell. You can say that very easily, until they renounce that blood oath, renounce their heritage, and come to Jesus. Otherwise, that's where we're heading straight to. But family, right now, they're closing the gap. They're coming after us. There is going to be persecution. Don't hang on some rapture before. Don't hang on a rapture in the middle. You don't hang on the rapture. That's God's business and God's business alone. If he does it before the tribulation, so be it. Does it mid-tribulation, so be it. Whatever. That's God's business and only God knows. Nobody else can debate it. Nobody else has any idea. But what we got an idea about is witnessing the true love of Jesus. That's all we got to worry about. And to live straight the best you can. And be convicted. He'll convict you of your sins as you go along. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Family, what I'm telling you is the truth. Get closer to Jesus. But you know, in this whole scheme of things, what they did is absolutely horrific. What they did in the 1400s and 1425 time frame was planning the invasion of the North American continent, the New Atlantis. Now listen to what happened. 1425, they put it into effect, and by 1492, Columbus, who's an avatar, opened the roll, as I said. You know the story there. Indians, indigenous population, was placated and almost but virtually destroyed. 1870s was the final. It took them a long time. The murder of 50 to 68 million people by the Roman Catholic Church, by the Vatican, starting in 1200 A.D. to 1400 A.D. That's 200 years of murder by the Vatican of innocent people. That's kind of bad, you think? 200 years of it. And then by 1492, people are ready to get Dickens out of there, aren't they? So by 1492, you're going into 16th century, 1500s. People ready to leave there, don't you think? Wouldn't you be ready to leave when you don't? When you expected someone to come up to your door and knock on your door and come kill you? I think it'd be about time to go, wouldn't you? Where are you going? Well, they got some new country, some new land over there across the ocean. We're going on to Mayflower. Let's get out of here, Martha. All right, honey. And so, well, it wasn't in his... Hey, Lassie, we're going out there now. That was my ancestors. Yeah, okay. So we go over from Scotland or Ireland or England or Germany or France or whatever. We're getting out of here, man. We're leaving. For the Roman Catholic Church kills us all. So an avatar. That's right. You heard what I said. By the name of Martin Luther. Working with the Vatican. created a religion called Protestantism so everybody would galvanize together, accumulate all those who rejected Roman Catholicism, and just move out and invade the North American continent. But they weren't invading. They were leaving, not knowing they're going to be used by the Jacobins. I didn't say the Chickapins. I said the Jacobins. Might as well be Chickapins. They're a bunch of murderers anyway. So the settlers are leaving for fear of being murdered by the Roman Catholic Church, not knowing they're going to be used. Revolutionary War. St. Bartholomew Massacre in France. It all comes together. About that. So, by 1712, here comes Willie Lynch out of Barbados. Brought over, contracted by the Rothschilds, to help train slave owners, you know, white folk in America that were in the Bible Belt to go to church. Yeah, that one. To bring slaves over of another culture. And what ended up happening was Willie Lynch taught them how to make good slaves in this Bible Belt. Murder, rape, horrific treatment, and genetic manipulation on purpose, by design. You get it? Think about that for a minute. 1712 is when it started. You would not believe the way we treated the blacks back then to make a perfect slave. Stud, strong, get rid of the weak. White folk, you got a lot to repent for of ancestor. It's just what happened. You need to know this because you got to repent of your ancestors' activities. If you have any slave owners that were family members, that's what I'm talking about. Freemasons, get out of there. 1712 is when it started. Now you know why you have blacks that are so athletically inclined. If you read the Willie Lynch letters, you'll find how horrific and ugly it became. Now you can understand when I read it again. In Red Fog of America by William G. Carr, 1955, it says, I quote, "The agentur of the Illuminati will proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, and yellow white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale." And that's where Brock Chisholm said, "By mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear." So first they had to create the races, mix the blacks into different shades of black, divide, separate the young from the old, the men from the women, the ones that are disobedient with the ones obedient, to beat the ones that's semi-disobedient and the ones that's really obstinate. They did horrific things to them in public so that the wives, the women, would see what would happen to them. Therefore, the wives would train the children to be obedient to the master. And that would carry on each generation. So the ones later on had no idea why they were being trained to be the way they were. Because it was carried from one generation to the next. I'm going to tell you, you white folk, you got a lot to repent for from ancestors that were involved in this. And us as Americans. Until that's done. And you're going down. God has not forgotten that. And yet we sang church hymns and did all this in the church and all this. At the same time, you had slaves. There's something wrong with that now. You got to know there's something wrong with that. It ain't right. And what happened after that? Emancipation Proclamation. Now to let the new culture free to do what? With their country back in Africa, man. They got different names now. So they got a new life. Yeah. Well, here's what we did continuously. The blacks were subjugated and demeaned on purpose to build a next generation of inferiority. How about in that times when they were let loose and you had the silly TV and so where the white actors would paint their faces black and act like stupid? The family was all part of the plan, Freemasons. And it really, when I start thinking about this, it's the same thing they do to our veterans. It really torques my jaw. And then in the South, the Alabama, Mississippi, and other places, boy, you go over and eat over there. You can't eat over here, there's white folk. You've got to eat over yonder. All that's part of the Masonic plan to subjugate, to make them ready, free but not free, to make them ready for the 1960s. And that's when the NAACP member Rosa Parks was told, okay, Rosa, now it's time. She was a severe activist for this agenda. She is not the woman made out to be. The idea then in 1960s, 59, 1960s, was to now, we've subjugated this culture, black, let's bring it up now because they're in need for it. And that was what they were hoping to start with the civil rights movement, to start a civil war while they started the Third World War to bring us on a new world order. It failed in 1943. It failed in 1963. It failed in 1972-74. And it failed in 1984-87. And it failed in 1999. And they better get to knowing that Jesus Christ is in control. They keep trying like little munchkins, but the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Jesuits, Illuminati keep failing to make their deadlines. So that's what happened in the 1960s. But see, four great men who really were for their people were assassinated by the same people. JFK, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., and Malcolm X. Were all assassinated by the same organizations because they were not cooperating with Illuminati, with the Freemasons. For the blacks, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X was not cooperating with the Jesse Jackson and the civil rights workers. They weren't cooperating with them at all. They had other ideas about bringing freedom and peace. Bobby Kennedy, JFK, same thing. So the same Illuminati, Jesuits, Freemasons, murdered all four of them. You ever heard that before? That's what happened. That's the bigger picture. So to build pride back in the blacks that the whites tore down because of this manipulation, they come up with the right words. Starting in the late 70s, making the white actors appear stupid on TV, and the black actors coming up in the Blaze Society. It's a role switch. To now build the pride back to give them freedom, give them courage so they can revolt and rebel to cause division. So you got to weaken then the stronger race and dominant race and cause them to become conflictive. It comes the term black is beautiful. Everything, all of it. It's all part of this. Then the whites counter to this was the Freemasons, Christian Identity, KKK, Aryan Nation, all these others. You see what's going on today? And they plan generations ahead. And I've only scratched the surface. I haven't even scratched the surface, man. This is how they really do it. This is the real state of affairs in this country and in Europe. What they got in Europe? They brought the Middle Easterners in. It does the same thing. You have the clerics that come in like in the cab. There's a story going around of an incident that happened in London, for example. It was a devout Muslim, supposedly, in a black cab in London. This is not a joke. I was in Saudi Arabia for 5 years. I know how the Matawa act. They act one way in one place, another place. They're just like everybody else. It's just another facade. There's no different than Copeland and all the rest of the religious leaders. They do one thing in front of people and do another in the other. It's all the same old mess. It's whether it's Copeland for Freemasons or whether it's Muhammad lickety-split in Saudi Arabia. It's all the same. No different at all. None whatsoever. So this devout Muslim entered the black cab in London, and he asked the cabbie to turn off the radio because it was decreed by his religious teaching. He can't listen to music because in the time of the prophet, there was no music, especially Western music, which is the music of the infidel. Well, the cab driver then turned off his radio, stopped the cab, and opened the door. So the Arab said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well," the cab answered. He said, "In the time of the prophet, there weren't no taxis." So he says something else, something off, and go wait for a camel. You see, family, this is on purpose, to infuse one culture into another. You have the, no matter what it is, and you come up with a radical group within that group that causes division among the cultures inside that targeted country. This is how it works. It's a strategy. Causes conflict. Order out of chaos. In Scandinavia, Sweden, what's the problem? Muslims up there. Not going to be blacks or Hispanic or, you know. So how are you going to, so the Jesuits figure out in Sweden and Switzerland and so forth, how can we cause division here? And they do an analysis and they figured out how to do it. This is the reality and the real state of affairs in the United States, in the world. Conflict creates order because the cultures will want to have order. And so what's going to happen is when we have so much, we're going to have the fake World War III coming up. They're going to crash the dollar, crash whatever they're going to come up with. You know, they're going to have maybe the Ukraine issue is going to be brought out to use that to some game they're playing to with justifying crashing the dollar, financial reset, economic worldwide. And what's going to happen is we're going to have a fake World War III, a fake conflict. Both people will die. But that will bring on the Antichrist, the one they call Maitreya, and Yeshua. Because I know for a fact, it's documented, that the one called Maitreya, the Antichrist, he will fulfill the position of all these I'm going to name you. Krishna, Bodhisattva, the Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Imam Mahdi, and the Kalki Avatar. He will fulfill all six of those. And one man, one Antichrist, will fulfill all those, and all those I've named will fall under his control. That's what you look for. And that ain't Obama. It's not even Prince William. Those are the distractors. Look up the 46 prophecies of the Antichrist for a start. He'll fulfill all 46. And we're coming into the end of the program today. And I appreciate y'all's attention. I want to remind you that we have a broadcast. Broadcast being played up in highportradio.net by John Kirkler, highportradio@yahoo.com. highportradio@yahoo.com. And give him some help up there, you all up there in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, because he's building his network up one station or one tower per month. And he's going to expand it out, and he plays us randomly up there, our broadcast and our Bible studies. Also, KBLU Radio in Colorado, Blue Ribbon Network. Tonight, I'm going to talk about a myriad of things. I'm hitting real hard this week on Yeshua. Expose that as often as I can. And different information each time. And I just cover a whole lot of things this week. But tonight, drop on by for the RevelationRadioNetwork.com. I'll be on for 2 hours tonight, 8 to 10. And then tomorrow, 4 o'clock broadcast. Now, I appreciate y'all coming by this afternoon. Visit my website, watchforjesus.com. And, yeah, I'm still working on the HPV work. I'm about done with that. I want to make sure it's right and everything's organized on it. You can read it. It's quite lengthy. And HPV vaccination, I'm working on. I should be done with it today, I hope, or tomorrow, at the latest. And I have it put up on my website. And you have my archives on my website as well. Okay. So y'all have a great night. And then for those that are coming back tonight, it's 8 o'clock, 8 to 10. I'll be on RevelationRadioNetwork.com. You can also listen to it on my site here because I also record it at the same time. So either place you can listen to it. So y'all have a great night. God bless. And family, look up and live because Jesus Christ is coming back. This is Watchman for Jesus, signing off.
The love was shining up from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. Signing off.